the greatest years of my life. It has been such a pleasure to be at CSM. And I have missed you guys. The first night that I couldn't come to Emerge, not because Pastor Izzy or Pastor Scott told me I couldn't, but just because I knew I needed to not come to Emerge, was super hard. And so it's just hard for me not to be with you guys. But hey, I want you to know something. I may not be here, but I'm praying for you and praying for God to work in your hearts, for God to grow you in your faith, for God to use Pastor Izzy and Pastor Scott and all of our amazing leaders here to increase your faith in him and to grow you guys into a deep and abiding relationship with the Lord. And that as you graduate, as you finish and you move through, that God will use you for great things in your life that's ahead. I'm not gone. Still here. Still get to work with Pastor Izzy every week, and Pastor Scott every day, not every week. So including Friday, Saturday as well lately. It has been just a joy. So with Pastor Izzy being out part of the weekend at a wedding and Pastor Scott being away this weekend, they asked me if I would teach. And I was absolutely excited to be able to teach and participate in Emerge tonight. So a couple things. You should have gotten your student guide, or you're getting it if you don't have it already. We're going to have this study as we continue our study out of Proverbs that Pastor Izzy started for us last week. But then you're not going to actually do the journey group questions on this until the Wednesday after next, so a week and a half from now. Because this coming Wednesday are all of our fall night events. So middle school is doing fall night at the farm, out at Richie and Janet Porter's house. If you guys know Chase Porter, it's out at his house. And the high schoolers are going to be doing individual fall night events at their journey groups. So we'll let you know more info about that. Pastor Izzy and Pastor Scott will be publishing more info. So watch for that. They will send out information. However you normally get your information from your journey group leaders, you'll get it through that same channel. But that also means, or one other note, I guess, we're not having Emerge next Sunday night. I don't know if Pastor Scott remembered to mention that, so we're going to mention it. We're not having Emerge. So you guys, we're having First Fruits next Sunday, and I really want to encourage you to be at First Fruits. First Fruits is when we have our anniversary Sunday on Sunday morning, and we all meet on the soccer fields, and we have church outside, all together as a church. It's awesome. So bring your chairs, bring your blankets, bring your tents and stuff like that, and come hang out here with your family on Sunday morning. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time together. So that's next Sunday, but when we do First Fruits, we don't do Emerge on that night. So just a couple little updates. Pastor Izzy started last week a new series out of the book of Proverbs. It's called Foolproof. Safeguarding your life against your own stupidity. Isn't that a great title? Yes. Doesn't it make you feel good? No. But the truth is, we are very prone to make bad choices in our lives that result in our own hurt and harm, aren't we? And we see people doing that kind of thing all the time. Have you ever seen the YouTube videos or the TV shows that have guys or people who are doing stupid things like trying to jump over moving cars? How does that usually turn out? Epic. Thank you, Nathan. Nate's like epic. Yeah, because it's an epic fall. You get these guys, the car's flying at them about 20 miles, 30 miles per hour, and they try to jump over it, and then they hit about the windshield, and it's just fun times. Safeguarding your life against your own stupidity. We tease Pastor Izzy because I feel like his frontal lobe is not fully developed. Because they say that your capacity to discern the consequences or repercussions of your choices is not fully developed until you turn 25.
I'm 27.
Well, he's a late bloomer. So what we do is we make really bad choices. Oh, does it? See? Mr. Craig's got it. He's got it. Case study right here. So, and what happens is we make choices not fully recognizing the potential consequences of those choices. And then we get hurt. This is why you always have this thing on TV that says, when on kids shows and all, that say, do not try this at home. Because kids will watch something on TV and then they'll do it at home and like burn the house down or do something like that. We don't always make the best choices. And the book of Proverbs is about helping us to walk in wisdom in our lives, to learn right from wrong in a righteous sense, but also right from wrong in a sense of understanding the pain and the difficulties and the hardships that can come from bad decisions in our lives, and help us to learn to live this life skillfully. Live this life in a way that will result in great things rather than hard things in our lives. That's what wisdom is. Learning to live skillfully in this world for the glory of God as we walk through these days. So, Pastor Izzy talked about last time how Solomon came along and he had this great wisdom. And Solomon wrote down these proverbs to help us to make good choices throughout our lives. Now, I want to encourage you guys, spend time in the book of Proverbs. It's an awesome book because it has 31 chapters. So if you read one chapter a day, you can finish it in a month. A lot of people, a lot of business people will read the book of Proverbs and they'll read one chapter a day all their lives, just trying to learn to walk in wisdom as they lead their businesses, as their parents, or whatever else it is in their lives. And I want to encourage you guys to do the same. There's an amazing wealth of wisdom and knowledge in this book. And so we're going to take the opportunity to study it over these next weeks. And Pastor Izzy and Pastor Scott will be taking you guys through the next messages. But we thought, as we talked about this, to start with, as we talk about the first lesson in wisdom, after we began with this concept of that wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord, that we would then talk about our speech. Because isn't it true that our tongues get us in more trouble than any other thing in our lives? People get more trouble because of things they say than anything else. And this is just a constant issue in our lives. And the book of Proverbs has much to say about speech, about our tongues and the way we use our tongues. And the whole of the Word of God does. Now, communication is a skill. It is a skill. And you don't start out with the ability to communicate well. You learn that over time. Now, we learn some things that are bad habits, and we learn some things that are good habits. But hopefully, over the span of our lives, we learn some level of good communication. Now, and hopefully you will learn it by the time you get married. Guys, it is fundamentally important that you learn how to communicate before you get married. Most women can out-talk you completely. They have more words than you do. They use more words than you do in a day. They use more words than you want to use in a day. And they will talk you under the table. So guys, you have to work on this skill. When Cindy and I got married, Cindy was excited about being a wife and being able to cook and all those kinds of things. It was pretty awesome. So she would experiment and come up with new meals, and she would find all these different recipes, places, and make things, and she bought these recipe books, and it was so great. Well, every time she would make a recipe in a new meal, she would always ask me, "What do you think? Do you like it?" Moment of truth. In that moment, you have to know how to communicate. Because if you like it, it's easy, right? What do you say? "Oh, yeah, that was awesome." Well, what I learned very quickly is when I would say it was great, she would go back to that cookbook and write "Keith likes" in the margin. Which means she's going to make that thing again. Which is good if I like it. But if I lied, I'm going to have to eat this thing over and over and over. And every time I'm going to have to be, "That's good." And it was terrible. So you know what I learned really quickly? Don't lie. Tell the truth. So I had to tell her, "No, I don't like this." But I had to tell her carefully because, you know, she was a brand new wife. I mean, I would just tear her apart if I said, no, this is terrible. Why did you make this? You know? You know, that will not go over well. Guys, making those kind of sounds that you make at the table when your mom makes something you don't like, that don't work when you get married. No, sir. You can't do that. You have to learn how to navigate this thing well. So I would say something like, well, it's good. It's just not quite as good as some of the other things you make. Isn't that good? See? Wisdom, right there. Speaking wisely. You compare it to something. You know, it's good. I like it. Okay, but it's just not quite as good. Well, after a while, you know what she learned to do? Is she learned to understand what I was saying. And as soon as I would say that, she would say, you don't like it. And then I'm off the hook because I could say, no, not really. See, communication, it is a fundamental skill that you have to learn. Now, I'm picking on the guys a little bit because of that, but it's true of ladies too. You have to learn how to communicate. Oftentimes, the way people communicate with us in this world is not according to wisdom. It's either harsh or hurtful or too blunt or not blunt enough, you know, whatever else it is. And we don't learn to be good communicators. Well, the Word of God teaches us how to use our tongues wisely. And God has a lot to say about this thing we call the tongue and how we use it. So let's pray together as we study. Father, we're just grateful for some time to study tonight. Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts, make us ready to study your Word. And I ask, Father, that you would open our hearts to the things you would teach us tonight. Lord, the way and the things that we say are so critical. And so, Father, we would ask for your help. Teach us to be good communicators. Lord, so that we can invest in people and accomplish your kingdom purposes in this world. Lord, it's such a critical thing. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us concrete ways to understand it more fully tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we look at the book of Proverbs, now the way these studies are going to go, there are lots of Proverbs scattered throughout this book. And oftentimes you'll get two or three grouped together that are about a topic. Sometimes you'll just get a one-liner that's about a particular topic. So there's no way for us really to take a full text like we oftentimes do in the book of Proverbs and say, okay, here's the text out of Proverbs that's going to teach us everything about speaking wisely. But there's kind of a lot of small texts that we're going to pull together, and we're going to bounce around a lot. So that may make it difficult for you to use your Bibles tonight, but keep them open to the book of Proverbs. Don't be confused by whether or not it's important to have your Bible open. But I'm going to put these verses on the screen just to help us a little bit to save some time, because there's a lot of different verses we have to bounce around to. But the Word of God has a lot to say about the tongue. If you remember in the book of James, we studied this before, James chapter 3, James said the tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. It is set among our members, staining the whole body and setting on fire the entire course of our lives. It itself is set on fire by hell. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Have you ever thought that was true based on the words that someone has said to you before? Yeah. We have all had people say things that were just cutting. Things that were harsh. Things that were mocking. Things that tore us down. Things that discouraged us. Things that hurt us. So we can see what James is saying here. You know, this tongue is set among our members as that which destroys, that which hurts. And that leads us to our principle tonight. It kind of goes like this. The wise person speaks constructively, but the fool speaks destructively. Now, you know, as we've been studying, as Pastor Izzy introduced the book of Proverbs last week, we saw this concept of the wise person versus the fool. You're going to see this over and over and over in the book of Proverbs. These are the two contrasting things. And the question that you're supposed to ask yourself is, am I the wise person or am I the fool? The wise person picks up his sheet, student guide, and writes on it. Right, Owen, Jared, and Hampton? Like Josh. That's right. Look how that works. So have your student guides and write on them. All right, now, so the wise person versus the fool. The wise person is the person who makes great choices, who does things according to God's will for God's glory. And the fool is the person that makes foolish choices that end in destruction and are hurtful. And that's true with regard to speech as well. The wise person speaks constructively. What do we mean by the word constructively? It means that he builds up. Construction is when you build things and create something. Well, a constructive or constructive speech has the purpose of building up and making positive. You know, so if someone tells you, you know what, you're just very responsible. And your mom or your dad looks at you and say, you know what, I'm just so impressed with you today. You wash the dishes, you cut the grass, you mop the floor, you wash the clothes, whatever it was. You know, man, I'm so proud of you. How's that feel? Amazing, yeah. Especially if you actually did all those things, right? Construction, it builds up. But the fool speaks words that destroy or tear down. And we all know what those words are like. The words that say, oh, you're too fat, or you're too short, or you're dumb, or you're stupid, or you don't have the right color eyes, you don't have the right color hair, or you don't have this, you don't have that. That's the kind of words that we hear all the time. And guys, I know the season of life that you are in. It is not easy to be in middle school or high school because people are just mean. They're just mean. They're rude. Other middle schoolers and other high schoolers are just mean, particularly other girls. Did y'all find that to be true? Man, girls are cut throat with each other, and they will just tear each other down. And they may not say it to your face, but they'll say it to somebody else, and it'll work its way around to you, right? You've been there. So we see this at work every day in our lives. The wise person has the wisdom to say, you know what, I'm going to speak words that build up. The fool is the one who speaks words that destroy. Now, I want you to think not just in this moment about words that other people say about you. I want you to think for a moment about the words you say about others. And the words you say to others. The goal of this study is to kind of put yourself in one of these two categories. Am I the wise person or am I walking like the fool? Which one am I in this moment, in this time? So, we're going to look at these two concepts. Now, what does it look like to speak constructively versus destructively? Well, it looks like this. When you speak constructively, you speak truthfully, not deceitfully. So we start off talking about truth. And we're going to look at this from the negative to start with. It basically goes like this. Don't lie. Don't lie. Tell the truth. A lie is intended to deceive. And it is our purpose, according to wisdom, to tell the truth. Look at these proverbs. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is for a moment. When we speak truth, guys, it lasts. But when we tell a lie, it'll never last. Because truth is eternal. Truth is for God's glory in this world. But the lying tongue, and you kind of get this throughout the Proverbs, throughout Psalms, the unrighteous person will not last. The person who makes wrong choices will not last. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who act faithfully are his delight. An abomination. Have you ever been around someone who just seemed to enjoy lying? And would just tell all kinds of fabricated stories? You ever have that? Could you tell they were false? Absolutely. I've been riding with my girls and had kids over, something like that, and I have a kid just tell some story, and I'm sitting there going, whatever. That is so not true. Now, I might not say it, but I'm sitting up there thinking, lie. That's just a lie, right? People do that. People will tell a story. And as I've reflected about why is this an abomination to the Lord? And the reason I think it's an abomination to the Lord is because, honestly, I think that a lie is one of the most in-your-face ways that we demonstrate to God that we don't trust Him. It's one of the biggest ways that we say, God, I just don't trust you with my life. I have to do this for myself. Well, let's think about different reasons we lie. What are our motivations for lying? Well, you got the first one I just talked about. Some people tell a lie out of a purpose of self-glorification. They want to look impressive, right? And so they lie about certain things about themselves in order to impress. This is what I did in the sixth grade. Because one of my friends was talking to me about this girl he had kissed. Well, you know, what's the next question is obviously going to come up. Have you ever kissed a girl? Well, you know what my answer was? Yeah. Why? Yeah, because I didn't want this dude to know I'd never kissed a girl. And so I was willing to lie. Why? Because it was about my image. It was about my reputation. I had no idea. I was scared to death of girls. And I'd have never kissed a girl at that point in my life. Scared to death. But I wasn't going to let this rascal know that. We do that all the time, don't we? We will oftentimes tell a lie in order to look impressive. That's lack of faith. Am I not good enough before God that I don't have to lie about things about myself? Do I have to lie to make myself look good? Well, if I do, it's because I don't have confidence in the person that God has made me. God has made you great. You are made in the image of God, and you are made for His glory. You don't have to build on that and make it better because you are amazing. Amazing. And because of that, you don't have to pretend to be something you're not. That's a lack of faith. Now, what's the next reason we lie? I think it's for self-preservation. Here's when you forgot to do your homework. What are some of the excuses you guys give or have heard when you forgot to do your homework or you forgot your homework? The dog ate it? The That's actually really good. That's not good. The printer broke. It's an IB thing? Oh, okay. A Wookiee ate it. A Wookiee ate it. Now, I would probably go with the printer broke versus the Wookiee ate it if I were going to lie about that. What else? The internet went out. Somebody said I was busy. That doesn't sound like a lie at all. That's actually really... That sounds very honest. Mr. Char, what have you heard for excuses for homework? It doesn't matter. It's just over. Yeah, that's right. Huh? My grandma died, and they're like, wait, didn't she die last week? Yeah. We will use that. Self-preservation, right? We realize we're not going to get something done, or we think we're going to get in trouble. This is where we lie to parents. I used to date a girl, and she would, I think I've told you guys this, she would lie when the truth would sound better. And we walk into her house, we've been out, and her mom and dad would say something like, where you been? And she'd tell a lie, and I'm sitting there going, why did we just lie? It was okay to go where we went. Well, now I got to back up the lie. So back in the day, because this was before Christ, I'd fall right in, man. We'd be all this stuff. I think wherever she's going, I'm just going to follow her lead. Why? Self-preservation. There was some reason she did not want them to know what she was doing. That's a lack of faith. Is God big enough to handle the fact that I failed to do my homework? If I get a zero on this homework grade, is He big enough to handle that in my life? If He's not, then I got to lie because I got to protect myself. I got to save myself. But if He's big enough, I can trust Him And he can deliver me even from my own failures, even from my own stupidity. So that's the second reason we lie. The next reason we lie is for self-satisfaction. Just a self-serving reason. You know what? I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to lie about this because I just, it's better for me. Here's where you're going to eat at the buffet and you're 13 and the buffet for a 12-year-old is $5.99. And your mom and dad look at you and say, you're 12 tonight. Huh? You can't get away with that. Right? That's the self-serving lie. It's more expedient if I lie in this case because it will serve me in some way. All right, guys, I'm going to say this, and some of you guys aren't going to like it, but I'm going to say it. And I want to say it before I say it, I'm going to tell you there's grace. Some of you guys on Facebook are 25 years old. Or something like that. 27. And I'm like, I'll go out and be saying happy birthday. I'm like, well, I didn't know she was 21 or 25. What I thought she was in the seventh grade, you know. Why? Because you're not allowed on your Facebook, on Facebook till you're 13 and we're getting on like at 11. Now, like I said, there's grace for that. But my point is, guys, that's a self-serving lie. I'm willing to do this because it serves my purposes. And what God said is, do not lie. Do I trust him enough to wait till I'm 13 to be on Facebook? Do I trust him enough to leave my cell phone at home on a CSM retreat and be honest with my youth pastor? Do I trust him that much? Can I go to camp without a cell phone and be honest? Or do I have to lie in order to take my phone? Guys, be honest. It is so rare today. People calling to work, hey, I'm sick today. And they're not sick. It's just whatever's expedient. And God has called us to be different. Don't lie. Be honest. Now, there's a positive to this as well, and it fits with this verse. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the enemies are the kisses of an enemy. And what we mean by this, the positive here, if the negative is don't lie, the positive is speak the truth in difficult situations. There are times when you'll need to tell the truth, and it would be much easier to lie. There'll be a friend of yours who's making bad choices, and you have the option to either tell them the truth, faithful are the wounds of a friend, or to avoid the truth, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Guys, a friend tells you the truth. When you're making bad choices, your friend is not the one who falls in there with you and supports you. Your friend is the one who comes to you and says, don't do that. And it takes courage to be a friend like that. Speak the truth. Speak the truth into people's lives. Here's where it gets hard. Even one day, husbands, when you're a husband, you seen that commercial where a lady comes out and she says, you think this pants make my butt look big? Y'all seen that? What did the guy do? He shoved a candy bar in his mouth. And he went, and she said, oh, you're so sweet. Because he didn't want to answer. Here's the thing. There are things, guys, that we need to say that are truthful. Now, we can find a way to say it kindly, or we can find a way to not say it. And there are certain situations where we'll have to do that. But don't lie. Don't lie. Now, you don't tell your wife that she doesn't look good in that outfit. Now, what you say is, well, I like it, but I like this one better. See, I've taught you guys it's a great technique, okay? That's what you do, diversion. to the other outfit. That's what you do. Without being dishonest, I like this one better. Now, she'll know what that means. She'll be like, you don't like it, do you? And then you're like, well, not really. See, you're off the hook. That's just the tactic, okay? But don't lie. Guys, we need to be honest, okay? Walk in honesty in your life. That is a part of being wise, being constructive. A lie is always destructive in your life. And it will bring destruction in the lives of others too. Always tell the truth. Look at me, guys. If you're lying to your parents, make a different decision. Because that's not honoring your parents. Find a way that you can be honest. Be that person. Anything that causes you that you have to be deceitful about is a lie. If you have to sneak around to do it, already begin to think in my mind, if I have to sneak around, I am deceiving. And if I am deceiving, that's a lie. Already decide in your own heart that you're going to be honest. Because I can trust God to handle my circumstances. Okay, so the first one is we're going to speak in truth. The second one is we're going to speak gently, not harshly. Gently, not harshly. And it fits with these verses out of Proverbs. There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. What's a sword thrust like? Have you ever taken some of those from people? Yes. People can be harsh. There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Painful, hurtful. But look at the next verse. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious. Now that word judicious means wise or careful. And adds persuasiveness to his lips. Now, when we think persuasiveness is this, if you're trying to talk your mom and dad into let you go take the car out and go to the football game, how are you talking to them? With harsh words? Why? Yeah, because they're going to say no. If you're going to talk like that, young lady, you're going to stay home. Right? Is that what he said, Hanan? Yeah. So, yes, we're not speaking with harsh words. Persuasive speech. Telling them why, look, I am your most responsible kid. I can handle the car. Have you seen the way I drive? I'm amazing. I have been found faithful in every aspect of our home life. And it is a good decision, Mom or Dad, to send me to this football game tonight. I will do you proud. You give them your speech, right? He has persuasiveness to his lips. This is the person who understands how to use language rightly, knows how to communicate. Now, it doesn't mean he's fake. I was a little bit fake right there. But honest, but persuasive. He uses his speech judiciously. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. You guys don't eat honeycomb much. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. These are words, guys, that a wise person uses. Words need to be gentle. Guys, we hurt each other all the time. And that's not necessary. We can find a way to say something gently, carefully. Guard your tongue. Be careful with your words. We're going to look at that in a minute more so. Be careful the way you say things to people, even to a friend. And I want to tell you this about CSM. This room and this group of people, if anybody else in this world, ought to be speaking to one another like this, gently, carefully. You know, when you leave this room and you go to Snead Middle School or you go to TKA or you go to West or you go to South or you go to Darlington Middle School or Darlington High School, you're going to meet plenty of people who speak to you harshly. And we ought to find in this room people who speak to us gently. And in love and in kindness. This is where I wrestle. So many times as a parent, I'll blow this. Riley and Haley can testify. I'll say it the wrong way. I'll say it harshly. And they'll start to cry. And then I'll follow up with, dry it up. Who laughed, Chris? Dang. Like, don't start crying. And I have to work as a dad at being gentle. Be gentle. Guys, parents are going to blow this. Amen, Ms. Glenda? We're going to blow it. And we're not always going to get it right. But it should be our goal as parents and as students, you with your parents and your response to them, to handle things gently. Handle things gently. Speak gently. So first, the content of what you say is very important. But not just your content, it's how you say it. Because you can say two different things very differently and end up with a different result. A soft answer turns away wrath. If you blow up at your parents, how do they typically respond? You are grounded. Yeah, they don't respond well. I remember one time I bowed up at my dad. Every guy has this moment in his life, one time. It only takes once for most of us. I was a teenager, and my dad's a big old man. I mean, he's a barrel-chested man. He's a big man. He's not much taller than me, about just a little bit taller than me, but he's a big man. And I remember one time he said something to me, and I was like, I had enough. And I stepped up, and he said, "You gonna bow up at me, son?" I said, "No." Whew. He said, "You better not. You'll regret it." And I did. And nothing even happened and I regretted it. That's what happens. Look, a soft answer turns away wrath. Answer rightly. And it's amazing how people respond rightly. Now, they don't always, but oftentimes they do. If you're kind to somebody, it's amazing. Be nice to people. When you're at the drive-thru and that person's taking forever, don't talk down to them or bash them. Be nice. There have been times I've been in the drive-thru. I went to Arby's the other day, and it took forever. And you know how many people at Arby's? Me. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? It was like 5 minutes to get my food, which is not long, but seems like an eternity when you're at a drive-thru. Was it 10 minutes? I'm thinking, what is going on? Well, I contemplated saying something subliminally mean. Well, I wasn't going to be blatant, but it would have been mean. You know what I had to choose? I was thinking, when he was walking back up to the window, I thought, okay, Keith, just be nice. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good night. In my heart, I'm thinking, what took so long? But in my face, I said, thank you. Have a good night. Appreciate it. You know, right? That's the choice we make. A soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer will turn away wrath. Now, next, speak carefully, not carelessly. Look at this verse, and I got to be done. This is a great verse. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. What a great verse. Isn't that great? Have you ever met the guy who just likes to talk junk all the time? Well, there's coming a day for that brother when he's going to take a beating. Somebody will have had enough, and then it's going to be a bad day. I had a guy like this I played baseball with, and he just talked junk all the time, all the time. And I remember one day I was playing shortstop, and we were, you know, there was a guy who got a base hit or got out. I think guy got out. We ran to first. Well, all of a sudden, there's a fight at first base. Well, you know what you're supposed to do on the baseball field if there's a fight? Join it. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm not advocating that, but that's what you're supposed to do, according to baseball code, right? Loyal to your friends. So, anyway, so I ran over to join it. Well, by the time I got there, it was kind of over. But this guy that was in the fight, you know who was the dude that got in the fight? The dude that ran his mouth all the time. All the time. That's what this is saying. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Be careful with your words. If you speak foolishly, if you're just always running off of the mouth, there's going to come a point in time when you'll regret it. It may not be that you take a beating for it, but you'll regret it. Choose your words wisely. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. So choose wisely, God. If you choose your words well, carefully, not being careless with your lips, it's amazing the benefit that comes in your life. Now, one last principle, and then we're going to be closed. I know I got to be done. The words of a whisper are like delicious morsels. They go down to the inner parts of the body. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Guys, listen to me. Lay off the gossip. Stop talking about people. And I don't care if you don't like them. Don't talk about them. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense. The wise person knows when to shut up about an issue. I almost told someone something today, and I thought, you know what? And I put myself through this question, and I want you to do this. Put yourself to the test. What is my motive in telling this person this information? And if it's not a good reason, if you don't have a good reason for them to know, don't tell them. The wise person knows how to close their lips. The words of a whisper are like delicious morsels. We long for them, but they go down into the inner parts of the body, which means when a person hears your gossip, it forever changes their opinion of that other person. And you'll never look at them the same way again. Ever. Guard your lips. Oftentimes we tear people down because it makes us feel good. Don't do that. Guard your lips. So this is a description of wisdom. I love this out of Proverbs to close. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. What a great verse. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold. What's our problem, guys? We are prone to do what Jesus said, to speak out of that which fills the heart. Well, what's in our hearts oftentimes? Deceit, anger, bitterness, selfishness. And what do we speak? What comes out of our lips? That which fills the heart. So what is our solution? And what is the key to speaking wisely? You got to change the heart. Change your heart. How do you do that? You spend time in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let it be that the person who shows up at school tomorrow is a different person because you spent time in God's Word. And as you do, what will come out of your mouth will be that which is useful to build up, not to tear down. James said, "Who can control the tongue? No one. It's a restless evil." The key to controlling your tongue is changing your heart. And the only way you change your heart is time spent in relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you do, you will speak well for his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time in your word tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would lead us into our group time. Pray, Father, that you would bless our conversation. Help us to be honest about what we struggle with, Lord. We know we are prone to struggle in this area. And Father, I pray that you make our students great communicators for your glory in this world. Lord, bless them as they reflect together and make this a fruitful time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Mr. Burt's got, Ms. Kayla's got the groups up.